Our Father in Heaven, we rejoice that we can gather before your holy presence as your children to worship you. We join our hearts with your children in different parts of this world this day to express our love for you, our gratitude toward you, and also look to you that you may have the freedom to speak to us, to help us to understand your ways, to concentrate on the things that are important to you. We commit this time to your loving hands, and we pray that you will help us to continue to grow an appreciation, understanding of the things of God's kingdom, and how we can participate effectively in its advancement. We entrust this time to your hands, in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 118th message. And we are considering the kingdom of God. The subtopic for today, biblical preaching and teaching and the advancement of God's kingdom. Biblical preaching and teaching and the advancement of God's kingdom. Many believers would regard the kingdom of God and contribution to its advancement to be of primary importance to the believer, and this is correct. However, to live well, it is vital we have a wholesome, accurate understanding of the meaning of God's kingdom and how to participate effectively in its advancement. And this is at the heart of what I've been trying to communicate in these messages on the kingdom of God. You've seen that to participate effectively in the advancement of God's kingdom, we must concentrate on positive moral and spiritual input in the spiritual realm and promoting God's reign in the hearts of men. The practical outworking would mean concentrating on the biblical emphasis on the meaning and quality of our relationship with God, worship, prayer, spiritual warfare in setting the captives free, fellowship amongst the brethren, preaching and teaching, and growth in moral and spiritual stature. These are the key issues of the Christian faith and the outworking of church life, and these are the issues that have a direct bearing on effectiveness in contributing to the advancement of God's kingdom, because they promote and manifest the reign of God and the power and glory of God. We have looked at three major areas in greater detail: worship, prayer, and true fellowship. And I now want to consider with you another major area, and that is biblical preaching and teaching and its relationship with the advancement of God's kingdom. To participate effectively in the advancement of God's kingdom, we must pay due attention to the importance of biblical preaching and teaching. The advancement of God's kingdom takes place primarily in the hearts of men. This we have noted in earlier messages. As more and more people enter God's kingdom and submit to the kingship of Christ and God through repentance and faith in Christ, and also as believers grow, as a submission, the hearts and lives of believers grow in depth of meaning as they grow in moral and spiritual stature. But how do these two aspects come about? A major means is good preaching and teaching. And we'll see that there's strong biblical emphasis of the importance of preaching and teaching. That is, the proclamation, declaration, and teaching of truth. And preaching and teaching, in accordance with the Lord's enabling, sheds light on who God is, the plight of men, our need of forgiveness and salvation, and also God's provision for our needs in Christ and God's way for the fulfillment of his purposes in Christ. And this results in the exaltation of Christ and God. Where there's good preaching and teaching, Christ and God must be exalted, and also there is the release of light and life. As God enables the preacher and teacher, light and life flows forth, and this would result in light and life in receptive hearts. I mention receptive hearts because light and life may flow forth, but not necessarily all will benefit. But where the receptive hearts, they will benefit, they will receive light and life, and this would also result in submission to the reign of God, and also a triumphant Christian life. And all these contribute to the advancement of God's kingdom. For those who enter God's kingdom, for those who are in God's kingdom, as they grow in the quality of their relationship with God, the meaning of their submission to the kingship of God, then how God manifests himself through their lives, the testimony of their lives, as well as God working in and through their lives, and the power and the glory of God manifested through their lives. Let us learn from the perfect example of the Lord Jesus Christ. In all major issues, it's always helpful to learn from what the scripture records for us of the life of the Lord Jesus. In earlier messages, we've seen that the gospel records show to us that throughout his ministry, the Lord Jesus concentrated on preaching and teaching. If we read through the Gospels, we know this stands out. And especially preaching and teaching concerning the kingdom of God and the things of God's kingdom. We ask the question, why did the Lord Jesus come to this world? The Lord Jesus himself tells us in Luke chapter 4, verse 43, I must preach the kingdom of God, for I was sent for this purpose. So this is at the very heart of the Lord Jesus coming to this earth, to preach the kingdom of God. He came for this purpose. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 has another angle of looking at it. It tells us that the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. So we may wonder, did Christ come for the purpose of preaching the kingdom of God, or did he come to destroy the works of the devil? If we pause and reflect upon it, we will see that the two are closely related. Preaching and teaching about the kingdom of God in the ministry of Christ was a primary burden of his heart, and it is the way to destroy the works of the devil and advance God's kingdom. How did the Lord Jesus begin his ministry? In Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, it records for us that the Lord Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And the gospel is the good news that sinful men can enter God's kingdom through repentance and faith in Christ. The fuller gospel, of course, goes beyond this and extends to all that God intends for us in the fulfillment of his purposes through Christ and in the lives of believers and their working of church life. But this first part about entering God's kingdom is critical, essential, and the preaching of the gospel that enables men to understand how to enter God's kingdom. And the actual entry into God's kingdom goes together with being delivered from the domain of darkness. Repentance includes turning away from the path of sin and darkness under the influence of the evil one into submission to the kingship of Christ and God, and being transferred into the kingdom of God. And so this is the beginning of the new life in Christ, but it doesn't stop there. It is followed by the process of transformation and growth unto maturity in Christ. And a major factor for growth is sound preaching and teaching. So we know that if a person is not in God's kingdom, he has no part in God's eternal purpose. However, entry into God's kingdom is only the beginning of the long journey of growing unto maturity in Christ.
I will not repeat what I've covered in earlier messages of the how the Lord Jesus throughout his ministry was preaching about the kingdom of God. I'll just mention this ending, this last part, and that is, how did the Lord Jesus end his ministry during his time on earth? How he began, how he ended, and also throughout his life on earth. This is recorded for us in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. That after his death and resurrection, and just before his ascension, the Lord Jesus was still speaking to his disciples the things concerning the kingdom of God. Not only he was still talking to them about the things of God's kingdom, it tells us that that was the thrust, that was the very heart of what he was talking to them. Verse 2 tells us he was talking to the apostles, and verse 3 tells us, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. So for a period of 40 days, he was concentrating on the kingdom of God. He was speaking to the disciples, to the apostles, of the things concerning the kingdom of God. This is the burden of his heart, and the Lord Jesus wants his disciples to identify with him and to concentrate on the things concerning God's kingdom. So throughout his ministry on earth, the Lord Jesus was constantly preaching and teaching about the kingdom of God, what it is like, how it grows, how one can have a part in it, the values, attitudes, perspective, and conduct that ought to characterize those in the kingdom of God. For example, in the Sermon on the Mount. And the Lord Jesus desires that his disciples do likewise. And so he instructed the apostles to go and make disciples of all the nations and teach them to observe all that he has commanded them. That is, the Lord Jesus taught the disciples, and now he wants them to teach others what he has taught them. And even as he concentrated on preaching and teaching, that is how he also wanted the disciples to concentrate upon. And so in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, these are verses that are often quoted in relation to what the Lord Jesus has entrusted to us, his commission to the disciples. In this instance, more directly, is to the apostles. And he instructed them to go and make disciples of all the nations. In verse 20, he told them, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. So to make disciples, and a major aspect of their ministry is to teach. And not just to teach, but to teach them to observe all that I commanded you. Comprehensive teaching of all that they have learned from the Lord. And so we find after the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the disciples did indeed pay much attention to the ministry of preaching and teaching. And this not just the apostles. You'll see that the early church grew well as believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And so let us look again at this verse in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, that we have referred to in relation to the major aspects of what the early church concentrated upon that had a direct bearing on how they grew well in the Lord. And the manifestation of healthy church life. What did the disciples concentrate upon? Acts 2 verse 42 tells us they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Not just that they paid some attention, but it says they were continually devoting themselves. The question we may ask is, who were the they referring to? The first word, they were continually devoting. Who are they? The answer is, the they refers to the apostles as well as all the believers. But let us take note that not all the believers were called to be preachers and teachers, and yet all of them were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. What does this mean, and how does it work out? And how are we to learn from this verse? How are we to work out? The meaning here is that the content of the apostles' teaching was of primary importance. And there are two aspects to it. One is those whom God calls to be preachers and teachers, they must shoulder and fulfill this responsibility well. This is extremely important. And we must also uphold those whom God has called to fulfill this responsibility, and they themselves must shoulder this responsibility very seriously. It is a heavy responsibility. The other aspect is the believers. All believers must pay due attention to the primary importance of the content of sound preaching and teaching and the implications for their lives. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. So the apostles were preaching and teaching, and the believers were paying attention. Not just heard one time, but continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. So the content of what was being communicated is extremely important. But of course, the content that comes forth must be sound. So the first part is the responsibility of the preachers and teachers to faithfully preach what God desires of them. So the importance of sound preaching and teaching. And then believers must pay due attention to the importance of the content of the preaching and teaching, and also the implications for their lives. And what is the content of sound preaching and teaching? It is what God desires to communicate to us in the scriptures. In the Old Testament times, the prophets prophesied, thus saith the Lord. In the New Testament times, the apostles learned from the Lord Jesus, and in the Acts of the Apostles, and the times of the apostles in the writing of the rest of the New Testament, God continued to reveal the truths to the believers, to help them to have it all recorded, so that now we have the whole Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And today, all true preaching and teaching must be the faithful communication of what God intends to communicate to us in the scriptures. I'll comment a little bit more on this afterwards. We can say this is the source and the basis of sound preaching and teaching. And where this is faithfully communicated, it enables believers to grow well, and it helps them to move in a direction of true submission to God and effective service and witness to the truth. So in line with this, the Apostle Paul tells us that God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. This the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 verses 11 to 13. So we see the thrust of it, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Yes, their ministry includes other aspects, but a primary aspect of their ministry is the communication of the truth, primarily through preaching and teaching, and this is to equip the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, and this is directly related to the advancement of God's kingdom. The Apostle Paul goes on to tell us in verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 4 that the whole goal and direction is until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So the goal is that all could attain to maturity, and that they can then fully participate in the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. So God actually wants all of us to participate in the building of the body, and that is the advancement of God's kingdom. But believers need to be equipped And a major aspect of the equipping, of their being equipped, is through the ministry of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. How do these things work out? I will elaborate a little. God has provided the scriptures that we may grow well and be fully equipped for every good work. So we see in Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul talks about equipping of the saints. Paul also tells us in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, why God gives us the scriptures. It is for the equipping of the saints. The two are closely related. So 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, we are very familiar with these two verses. Paul tells us, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So the scriptures inspired by God is intended to equip believers for every good work, and also that the man of God may be adequate, that is, fully furnished, fully equipped. We grow unto maturity, we understand, we know the truth, we know the Lord, and we are ready to serve Him. And this, Paul also tells us the scriptures is inspired by God and profitable for teaching. You can say you learn from the scriptures. We can say that preachers and teachers make use of the scriptures to teach. The basis of their preaching and teaching in order to equip the saints for every good work. So the scriptures is inspired by God for teaching and for training in righteousness, to help believers to grow strong in the Lord, to grow into maturity, to be properly equipped. So true preaching and teaching help believers to understand what God desires to communicate to us through the scriptures, but not only help us to understand. Preaching and teaching that is effective also seeks to move us and to exhort us to respond well to God's call and God's intentions for us in Christ. And we see throughout the ministry of Paul, this comes through very strongly. Paul not only helps us to understand the truth, he also exhorts us. And true preaching and teaching has a direction. Yes, it opens up the truth to us, but it also seeks to move us in the direction of the fulfillment of God's call and the fulfillment of God's purposes. We can say good preaching and teaching lays the foundation as well as the framework for the life of individual believers and also for church life and the outworking and fulfillment of God's purposes. So preaching and teaching has a very prominent place in the outworking of God's purposes, because God has raised up those who can help us in that direction, to help us to know God, God's intentions for us in Christ, why God created man, how we can respond well to His calling at a personal level, and also together in church life, including how church life ought to function. Although this is an important responsibility of those who are called to preach and teach, we can also say that all believers must concentrate on learning the truth, and what they have learned, they can also communicate to others, whether it be non-believers, to help them to be ready and to help them to enter the kingdom of God, or to encourage one another, to help one another to grow in our understanding of the truth. Whatever we have learned from the Lord, we should also bear in mind in what way we can benefit and contribute to the lives of others. And I've covered this to some degree in the previous message on true fellowship amongst the brethren. A very major aspect is how we can encourage and help one another to move together in the direction of God's call. But good preaching and teaching is a very important starting point for believers to draw them together and to help them to understand the whole direction and the major issues, principles, and how they ought to work out. So good preaching and teaching, we can say the thrust is in both directions, the individual believers as well as at the corporate level in church life. So at the personal level, good preaching and teaching is meant to encourage each believer, to help each believer to understand the truth and also to motivate the believer to live well in submission to the Lordship of Christ and God. And at a corporate level, church life, body life, good preaching and teaching helps the brethren. The brethren are shown the way and they are also motivated to work out together with oneness of heart under the kingship and headship of Christ. So notice I emphasize submission to the Lordship of Christ, working out together under the kingship, headship of Christ and God. So this is directly related to the manifestation of the kingship, Christ and God. And it's directly related to the advancement of God's kingdom. God has revealed much to us in the scriptures, which are very helpful and important for believers to learn and to grow well, and also to help us to participate effectively in the advancement of His kingdom. However, many believers know very little of what God intends to communicate to us and what God wants us to understand. This is not the will of God. He has given us the scriptures because He wants us to be properly equipped. And all scripture is inspired by God. God wants us to understand as much as we can all that He has communicated to us through the scriptures. We must ponder about the implications of this for our own lives and also as we seek to work out together in church life. Let us now see what we can learn from the example of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is an outstanding servant of the Lord and a great preacher and teacher, and there's much we can learn from him in this area. Let's first look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, as a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth." Notice that Paul condenses his understanding of the primary importance of his role as apostle, preacher, and teacher in God's calling for his life in just one verse. He puts it all here. He says, "For this I was appointed." Why did God call him? His role: apostle, preacher, and teacher. And in the context, the preceding verses, he tells us about God's salvation, God's intention of salvation for all men, God's salvation plan for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately after that, he tells us, "For this I was appointed." So Paul recognized that at the heart of God's calling for his life is his role as an apostle, as a preacher, as a teacher. And then let us continue to look at Paul's approach to his ministry. He testified about this to the elders of the church in Ephesus. Let us turn to Acts chapter 20. Reading from verses 18 to 20, and then verses 24 and 25, and 26 and 27. To summarize it first, Paul tells us that His ministry centers on declaring and teaching everything that is profitable and declaring the whole purpose of God. Let us look at Acts chapter 20, verse 18 to 20. Verse 17, he tells us that he sent Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they came to him, he said to them, verse 18, "You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house." So Paul mentions here that he was spending much time with them. "I was with you the whole time," he said in verse 18. "Serving the Lord with all humility, with tears and with trials." He labored hard. But what was it? At the heart of it, what was he trying to do? Verse 20, he says, "I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house." Declaring and teaching. All the time, he was concentrating on preaching and teaching. And it includes anything that was profitable, whatever could help the believers. Yes, Paul also preached to non-believers to help them to enter the kingdom of God. That's one aspect of his ministry. And then for believers, is to help them. Whatever that could be helpful for them, profitable for them. Verses 24 and 25, Paul tells us, "I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face." So Paul tells us here in very clear terms that he devoted his whole life to the ministry and he was prepared to lay down his life. The preceding verses tells us that bonds and afflictions awaited him. And then he says, "I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus." In order to finish his course, to complete the ministry, to fulfill the ministry that the Lord Jesus had entrusted to him, he was prepared to devote his life, to give up his life for this ministry. And what was that? He said, to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. So it's the testifying to the gospel, and then the other, he says, "I went about preaching the kingdom." Testifying about the gospel and preaching the kingdom. And then verses 26 and 27 tells us how he went about doing it. And in a way, it also tells us the embed of the gospel and the meaning of preaching the kingdom. Verse 26, "Therefore," so because God had called him, because he's devoting himself to the ministry entrusted to him by the Lord Jesus, he says, "Therefore," what did he do? Verse 26, "Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God." Paul went about fulfilling his ministry and he says, "I'm innocent of the blood of all men." That means he had fully discharged his responsibility. God's call and his responsibilities to the people to whom he was ministering. And what was that? "For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God." Take note that preaching and teaching the whole purpose of God is part of what Paul understood to the meaning of the ministry entrusted to him by the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus had called him to testify of the gospel, the grace of God, and to preach the kingdom of God. So we can summarize it in this form. to properly communicate the gospel of the grace of God and the ministry of the preaching of the kingdom of God on Paul's part, it includes the communication of the whole purpose of God. That is Paul's part. But on the part of the hearers, it is the receiving of the gospel of the grace of God and the preaching of the kingdom of God includes the reception of the ministry of the communication of the whole purpose of God. So again, these two aspects, the responsibility of the preacher, teacher, and the responsibility of the hearer. So it involves properly communicating or receiving the gospel, the grace of God, and the preaching of the kingdom of God includes the communication and reception of the whole purpose of God. God has given us the scriptures, the whole Bible, and He wants us to understand what He's trying to communicate to us through the scriptures. We can say the book of Acts is a record to help us understand how the disciples of Christ responded to God's call and what the Lord Jesus had entrusted to them, what God desired of them. And an outstanding example in the book of Acts is the faithful and effective ministry of Paul. There are many chapters in the book of Acts. That records for us the ministry of the Apostle Paul. I will now refer you to the last two verses of the book of Acts, which sums up the heart of Paul's ministry and his contribution to the advancement of God's kingdom. Acts chapter 28. Verses 30 and 31. If we ask ourselves, was Paul very effective? Did he contribute much to the advancement of God's kingdom? I think believers generally, we have no hesitation, that's unambiguous. Paul contributed significantly to the advancement of God's kingdom. But at the heart of Paul's ministry and contribution, what was it? How did he go about fulfilling his ministry? How did he contribute to the advancement of God's kingdom? We can say it can be summarized as preaching and teaching. And preaching and teaching concerning the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Consistent with what we have seen in the testimony of the Apostle Paul in his own words in Acts chapter 20. Let us look now at these two verses, the last two verses of Acts. Verse 30. And he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness unhindered. That is how these last two verses in the book of Acts summarizes to us the ministry of the Apostle Paul. He says for 2 full years, what was he doing? Preaching, teaching. Preaching the kingdom of God, teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And these two are closely related. At the very heart of the kingdom of God, preaching and teaching concerning the kingdom of God is the role of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we've seen in earlier messages, the role and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, He is at the very heart of the fulfillment of God's purposes, the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of the kingdom. At the heart of what God wants to communicate to us is the role of Christ, is the kingdom of God, is the gospel of all that God intends for us in the Lord Jesus Christ in relation to His kingdom and the advancement of God's kingdom. some brief concluding remarks in the light of what we have considered of the scriptural presentation of the importance of biblical preaching and teaching, not only the role and responsibility of the preacher-teacher, but also all believers must pay due attention to the importance of the content of what God desires the preachers and teachers to communicate to us, and that is what God desires to communicate to us through the scriptures. We must pay due attention to what God has to say. As believers, we want to submit to God. In order to submit to God, we must know what He is trying to tell us. And in this regard, it is important for us not to remain superficial in our understanding. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 92, verse 5. Psalm 92, verse 5, the psalmist says that the thoughts of God are very deep. Psalm 92, verse 5, the words of the psalmist, "How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep." And in the margin for thoughts, it says purposes. Your thoughts are very deep, or you can also say your purposes are very deep. The thoughts of God, the purposes of God, they are very deep. And if we really want to understand what God wants to communicate to us at a fuller level, we cannot be superficial. In the same direction, the Apostle Peter also tells us that there are some things hard to understand. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, or rather verses 14 to 16, and reflect briefly on the implications of the words of the Apostle Peter. Verses 14 to 16, nearing the end of his epistle, the Apostle Peter wrote, "Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. Just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction." So notice here, the Apostle Peter tells us that there are some things hard to understand. Now, and what is he referring to? He's not just making a general statement in life, there are some things hard to understand. He's talking about the scriptures. He first talks about the epistles of Paul, what Paul has written. And if you read through the epistles of Paul, if you try to pay some attention, to try to understand what he's trying to say, then we'll readily agree that Peter is just putting it mildly. I will say, there are many things hard to understand. Not just some things, but many things hard to understand. Likewise, the rest of the scriptures, there are various things that are not easy to understand. And take care. The Apostle Peter also warns us. He tells us that they are the untaught and unstable, distort. So there are those who are unstable, there are those who are untaught, and they distort the writings of the epistles of Paul. They distort the epistles of Paul just as they also do the rest of the scriptures. So we must be careful not to distort the teaching of the scriptures. The other is, let us not remain untaught. We need not remain untaught. As we read the scriptures, God can teach us, but God has also raised up those who can help us to understand. Do we really appreciate God's provision? Are we responding well? That is a very important responsibility on the part of all believers. And look at the context here. The context here is to be ready for the second coming of Christ. Verse 14, the Apostle Peter says, "Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. Verse 13 says, but according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. What is this? It's talking about the coming again of the Lord Jesus and the new heavens and the new earth. Verse 10 makes it even clearer. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. So the Apostle Peter is talking about the second coming of Christ and how all things will be destroyed. That is what is in the visible realm, the temporal. The heavens and the earth will pass away with the roar. The elements will be destroyed with intense heat. The earth and its works will all be burned up. And then he says, since all these things will be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be? How then should we respond in the light of our knowledge, our recognition of the second coming of Christ? We must pay attention to holiness of conduct, godliness, and as we look forward to the second coming of Christ, looking for new heavens and new earth, the Apostle Peter says, therefore, verse 14, therefore, believer, since you look for these things, as you look forward to the coming of Christ, it's not just keep saying, I look forward to the second coming of Christ and being very passive. Be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. We must move well in the direction of God's call, and he wants us to grow in godliness, in maturity, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. The salvation here goes beyond just being converted, but the full salvation that God desires for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And paying attention to the scriptures, even though there are some things hard to understand. Let us be careful not to distort. Let us so not be deterred by the some things hard to understand. The psalmist has told us that the thoughts of God are very deep. His purposes are deep. Finally, let us pay heed to the exhortation of the Apostle Paul himself in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. The Apostle Paul wrote, brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking, or can also be translated as understanding, in your thinking or your understanding, be mature. Writer of the Hebrews, as well as the Apostle Paul, also tells us that we shouldn't remain like infants, spiritual babes, just only can partake of milk, but learn to be able to partake of solid food. And Paul here tells us, do not be children in your thinking. Yes, in evil be babes, be infants, but in your thinking or in your understanding, be mature. And to be mature in our understanding, we must not remain superficial in our understanding of the scriptures, in our understanding of what God wants to communicate to us. It requires effort, diligence on our own, as well as paying due attention to what God makes available for us, materials that are available, scriptures, other helpful materials, and also those whom God has raised who can help us to understand what God desires his children to understand. Paying attention to these things is extremely important in helping us to respond well to God's call and to participate, to be ready to be able to participate effectively in the fulfillment of God's purposes. So the importance of the preacher-teacher in providing sound, good preaching and teaching, faithful in presentation of what God desires to communicate in the scriptures, and for all believers to pay attention to the content of sound preaching and teaching, and that is what is properly supported from the scriptures and we can see that it is indeed what God desires to communicate to us in the scriptures, we must pay due attention, which means we must pay much attention. Let us now, as we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper, reflect on God's goodness toward us in sending the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, the death, the resurrection and ascension of Christ, and together with that, together with the ascension of Christ, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and God's provision of the scriptures for us. Let us be thankful for God's provision. In many different ways, He has provided for us so that we can be properly equipped for every good work. The positive development in our lives itself is a testimony of the wisdom and power of God. And as we learn and grow, we continue to manifest the power and glory of God, the salt of the earth, the light of the world, and not just at a personal level, but more and more we may know how to fulfill our part in the body of Christ, that the body may be built up in love. Let us reflect on the scriptural emphasis on our relationship with God, our worship of God, prayer, fellowship amongst the brethren, the importance of biblical preaching and teaching, and how God wants us to be His effective witnesses in this world, faithful ambassadors for Christ. In order to be properly equipped to testify of the gospel of the grace of God, we must pay attention to how God wants us to live out our lives in accordance with what He has revealed in the scriptures. Let us ask the Lord whether to help us to see clearer. Are there aspects of our lives that we need to make changes? Have we properly appreciated the way God wants us to live out our lives, and the major emphasis, the major areas of emphasis He wants us to pay attention to at a personal level and also together in church life? Our Father in heaven, we thank You for reaching out to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for helping us to recognize the truth of the gospel and helping us to enter into the kingdom of God. And thank You that we can have a part in the furtherance of Your kingdom. We pray that You help us to appreciate Your provisions for us so that we may be properly equipped at a personal level and also together in church life, that indeed the whole body may be built up in love. We pray, Father, that You will continue to have the freedom to grant us insight into the truth they desire to communicate to us in the scriptures. We know that there are various aspects difficult to understand, but we know that whatever You desire to communicate to us, it is feasible for us to understand through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we ask that You help us not to be negligent, but to pay due attention to what You desire to speak to us. We thank You now for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask that You will wash away our sins. You help us to put right our lives, that we not partake the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. And help us to be faithful, effective witnesses to the truth. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.